Amen. Do you love the Lord this morning? Amen. How many of you know He loves you? That's for sure. Your Heavenly Father loves you abundantly. And no matter what season of life you're going through, He sees exactly what you're facing. He knows exactly what you need. And He is always there, ready and willing to jump right in and help you. Because at His core, He is a Father. And that's what we're celebrating this day and this weekend is Father's Day. And so I want to start by saluting all of the fathers who are here today, who are committed to being a godly father. Let's give them a wonderful round of applause. Of all the things in life that I'm striving to be, it is a father who trains his children up to walk in the ways of the Lord. I refuse to lose my family. I don't know about you, but I'm determined I'm going to be good as a father. Amen? And so for all the fathers who are out there doing that, we honor you. We salute you. And for any of you who, like me, have had a father go on before you, I know that God is a father to the fatherless. Last night in our service, I prayed that during the opening prayer, and I had to stop and pause. I got overly emotional. And it wasn't because I was missing my father, although I do miss him from time to time, don't get me wrong. But it's because I realized in that moment that my father, my heavenly father, has more than overcompensated for the loss or the gain for my father. You know what I'm saying. And he's been so wonderful to me. My heavenly father's been so wonderful to me, the way he's looked out for me and provided for me. And last night, I saw that in my heart, just how gracious he's been to me. And so if this is a tough day for you, know that I'm with you in that. But we have a heavenly father who longs to give us his power and his grace to help us run the race he's called us to live. Amen? Amen. And so I just want to encourage you, all of you wonderful fathers who are parenting and loving your families like Christ loves the church, what an awesome, wonderful thing. And for all of you who may be missing a father this morning, I know that you have a heavenly father who can more than overcompensate for anything you may be missing. Amen? Amen. We love you today. Before we do anything else at all, let's go before our Heavenly Father and let's pray. Father, we come before you today. We love you, Lord, so much. You're so wonderful. At the core of all that you are a Father. And you have been that to us. And so on this Father's Day, I know we're saluting all of the men who have taken it upon themselves to be the fathers you've called them to be. We salute them. We honor them. And we also honor you today. You've taken care of us, Father. You have provided for us. You've strengthened us. And Lord, we just say we love you. We serve you. We're thankful for your presence in our life. And we ask of you, Lord, today to become ever more real to us and make yourself real to us. Let your word be a lamp unto our feet. Let it be a light unto our path. We thank you, Lord, that it comes alive to us and becomes real to us. Let your Holy Spirit, who's with us and in us, help us see it. Help us communicate it as well. And at the end of this service, we'll be careful and we'll be quick to give you all the praise and all the glory, for you and you alone are worthy, and you alone deserve all the praise. We thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Turn to someone, welcome them to Word of Life Church this morning. Let them know how glad you are to see them here. Certainly glad to see each and every one of you with us this morning. And I want to invite you to open up your Bible with me to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. On the screens, I'm going to give you a double dose here on the screens. If you can go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14 in the Message Bible, 2 Corinthians 13, 14 in the Message Bible. And then right after that, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 in the King James. So 2 Corinthians 13, 14 in the Message, and then Hebrews 4 and 12 in the King James on the screens. In your Bibles, the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. We've been talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And I had a message that I'd written out for Father's Day, and I thought I may share it. But I just felt led to maybe hold off on that message and do a family series, perhaps in the month of August or September, something like that. But for us to just stay in the vein we have been in these last 2 weeks, talking about the role of the Holy Spirit in your life and in mine. We saw the scripture, and it's kind of been our golden text for this series, in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14 in the Message Bible. It says, "The amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God." Now notice this next phrase, "and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you." Be with every one of you. He says, every one of you, that means you, me, and you, and you, and you, and all of us, ought to have these three things. He said, you ought to have the amazing grace of Jesus in your life. How many of you have found that amazing grace? Amen. He says, all of you ought to have that. You also ought to have the love that comes from the Father. Thank God for that. But he didn't stop there, did he? He said, I want you also to have an intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. Not just a friendship or an acquaintance, but an intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. And so we asked the first time we mentioned this, do you have one? Do you have currently an intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit? And describing the Holy Spirit, would you describe Him as your intimate friend? And so in the first message, what we did was we talked about who the Holy Spirit is. And we went to the words of Jesus, and we saw where Jesus said, I'm going to send you another comforter. And we saw that that word another means far more than we could even comprehend. But what Jesus was saying is I'm going to send you someone who's just like me. And so he said the Holy Spirit is going to be in operation just like Jesus was in operation. And just like Jesus never did anything weird or spooky or strange, the Holy Spirit is not weird or spooky and strange. And just like you would be unashamed to say, I know Jesus because of how wonderful he is, you should be that unashamed to say, I know the Holy Spirit because he's just like Jesus. He is just that wonderful, just that precious. And we talked about him, how he would manifest himself. And we compared his manifestations to the manifestations of Jesus. And we saw how those things lined up. Then what we asked last week was this. We said, we see where Paul says you can have an intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. We said, let's look at our Bibles and determine from our Bibles whether or not the people in the Bible had one. Did they have an intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit? And you and I made a decision, didn't we? We said that we will never allow our experience to go above the Word of God. And we agreed, you made this agreement with me, that at any time our experience goes beyond the Word of God, we bring our experience back to the Word of God to be judged by the Word. And if it doesn't line up with the Word, we leave that experience alone. Amen? We agreed to do that. But we also agree that at any time we're reading the Word of God and we see something in the Word that is above our experience, that they were enjoying something that we may not be presently enjoying, that we will not water down the Word to match our experience, but instead we will believe God to raise our experience to match His Word. Amen? And we saw, all of you who are here, if you weren't here, I encourage you to get the podcast. You can get the CD. Podcast is for free. It's at thelife.cc, or you can download our app and pull it off from that. Or the CDs are out there in the bookstore. But we saw in the book of Acts, these people knew the Holy Spirit. They knew when He talked. They knew what He was saying. Even their decision-making was determined by what they believed the Holy Spirit was speaking to them. They had an intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. So we determined last week, it is entirely scriptural to have an intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. We saw where Jesus said, talking about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14, He said, and you will know Him. I love that. He didn't say you will know about Him. He said, you will know Him. Jesus went on to say things like this in John chapter 10. He said, and my sheep will know my voice. Not just know my words, but know my voice. They will know me. I go before them, and they will follow me. How many of you know we can have an intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit? So what we're trying to see in our life over this message and the course of the next several ones is how we see from Scripture the Holy Spirit is someone we should want to have an intimate friendship with. We saw from Scripture that they had in the Bible an intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. So what we're looking at now is from Scripture, how do you have one? Let's read Romans chapter 8, and on the screens, while we're reading that, go to Hebrews 4, verse 12. Romans 8, and let's look at the scripture we ended with last week in verse 14. He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Let's read it again. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Say this with me. Say, sons of God ought to be led by the Spirit of God. Say this with me. Say, I am a child of God, which means I should be led by the Spirit of God. Do you see that in Romans chapter 8, verse 14 in your Bible? Do you see that? He said, sons of God, they ought to have a distinguishing mark about them. Well, what should be their distinguishing mark? Sons of God, people, if you've called upon the name of Jesus, if you're born again, you're a child of God, a son of God. He says, there ought to be a distinguishing mark about you. And your distinguishing mark should be you're being led by the Spirit of God. So we asked this last week, what's the last leading He's given you? According to your Bible, and once again, we're going to raise our experience to match His Word. According to your Bible and mine, and this is just as scriptural as John 3:16, just as John 3:16 is Scripture, Romans 8:14 is Scripture. What's the last leading the Holy Spirit has given you? Sons of God, it says, should be, ought to be, can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. So it's my aim to teach you how to have this in your life. And friend, I'm telling you, I believe that if you can learn how to do this, like we said last week, you will have it made. Now notice something here in verse 16. And let's look at this, and we'll look at Hebrews. Romans 8 and 16. It says, the Spirit itself, it should be translated Himself. He's not an it, He's a He. The Spirit Himself, underline this, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our what? Spirit that we are the children of God. We'll come back to that. Now, the first step in being led by the Spirit of God is found, I believe, in Hebrews 4, verse 12 in the King James. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even, now notice this, to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now notice this middle phrase. It's like a sword, and it pierces even to the point of dividing the soul from the spirit. He says the word of God will divide, will set asunder, cut in half, separate the two, the soul from the spirit. The number one question I get from people when it comes to this issue is they'll come and they'll ask me as a pastor, how do I know if this is God speaking to me or if it's just me? Have you ever wondered that? I've wondered that many times. Is that me? Did I just eat some bad pizza? Did I just wake up? Is that just me or is that the Lord speaking to me? How do I discern the difference? How do I know if that's coming from my mind or coming from my heart? How do I cut it asunder? He says there's a tool that'll separate the two. How do I know if this is God or if this is just me? He says there's a tool that'll separate them. Well, what's the tool? The tool is the Word of God. Your Bible, and I'm just going to just sit on this point just for a minute and then we'll move on, but I've got to make it because it's critically important for you to understand. Your Bible is God-breathed. This is not just a book or scripture. This is the Word of God. These are the words of God, not just the word of a man or a prophet or a preacher. This is the Word of God. The Bible is God speaking to you. Now, this is the tool He's given you to divide the soul from the spirit. And I'll put it to you this way in an example. We have on stage oftentimes a young lady who is the daughter of a lady who is often standing right next to her, Sheila Pearson. Her daughter is London Pearson, and they sing together a lot on stage. And then their son is one of our guitar players. His name is Colton Pearson. And I thought about doing this, but I didn't want to embarrass little London, so I decided against it. But I thought about just bringing her up, spur of the moment, and blindfolding her, just real tight. And then having her mother, her father, her brother, and then a couple other people who she wouldn't know come up on stage. And I'd get her mother to start talking, and without revealing that it was her mother, just ask her mother a couple of questions and see if London would be able to discern her mother, Sheila's, voice without Sheila identifying herself as Sheila. How many of you think she'd be able to do that? Oh, yes, she would. Why? Because she's grown up hearing that voice. She's been around that voice. She's fellowshiped with that voice. So that voice is very familiar to her, so that when she hears that voice, she's immediately able to discern, that's my mother speaking. How many of you think if I took them to a grocery store and took Sheila, made her go a couple of aisles over where they couldn't even see each other, but just had Sheila just kind of shout real quick, act like she was mad at London, you know, call London by her middle name or whatever it may be. That even with that, if she did that, if your mother did that to you, wouldn't you be able, even if you didn't see your mother, to know that's my mother speaking? Why? You familiarized yourself with her voice because you've been around her voice so much. I guarantee you London could do the same thing with her brother. She could do the same thing with her father, Ray. I guarantee you she could do the exact same thing with him. Why? She's familiar with that voice. But if I brought you up, meaning you, someone who doesn't know London, and got you talking, and you were talking, and she could hear your voice, but then I asked London, who is that? Do you discern who that is? She would probably say, without a doubt, no, I have no idea who that is. Now, she can hear your voice, but she can't discern who's the author of it. Where's its origin coming from? And the same thing is true with God. God is your Father. He is your Father. And friends, He is not short on counsel. How many of you have parents? Any of you have parents? All of you have parents. You all ought to. If there's one thing I know every one of you have, it's parents. And with this, is it not true with parents that parents will often give you more counsel than you want? I mean, it's not, even if you're like 60 and your parents are like 85, they're still giving you counsel, right? Telling you not to put gutters up or whatever it may be. Why is that? Because it's in their nature to counsel you. And the same thing is true with God. It's in His nature to counsel you. He's counseling you. The problem is people don't discern His voice. Why not? They haven't spent enough time hearing it. So when He speaks, they can't discern it because they haven't been around it. And so what He's done is He's given us a book. And I know that this book's got a lot of good teaching in it. I know it's got a lot of good doctrine in it. It's got a lot of good stories in it. You ought to read it just for that. But I'm telling you, friends, it's more than that. It's you training your heart to hear His voice. And the more you're in this and the more of this you know, the more you will be able to discern in your heart, is that the Lord or is that me? Because you've already familiarized yourself so much with His voice that when His voice speaks to your heart, you're able to discern, now that's God. Does that make sense to anyone? All right. So with this, get in your Bible. I know it's a simple point. But get in your Bible. I can remember as a teenager, I can't find my Bible. And then I'd remember, it's probably still in the car. And so I'd go over to the car, and this would be on Sunday morning because I'd have to bring my Bible to church. And I realized that I'd left it in there from Wednesday to Sunday because Wednesday was the last time I went to church. You ever been there before? If I want to hear God's voice, it's my choice. And I'm going to have to train myself to hear His voice. And it's not enough to just read the Bible every time I come to church. That's good that you bring your Bible to church. You got to start somewhere. That's a good place to start. But with that, if I want to discern His voice, I need to be in this as much as possible. I love what Finney said. He said, the problem is with most Christians is they feed their bodies 3 hot meals a day and feed their spirit 1 cold snack a week and wonder why they're spiritually weak. And it's the truth, friend. The more you're in this, you're going to pick up a lot of good things from it. You'll see, oh, I shouldn't have talked to him that way, or I should have paid more attention to that, or I definitely was not patient or kind today. You're going to see those things and be able to make little adjustments. But it's more than that. It's you reading this is training your heart to understand His voice so that when He speaks to your heart specific guidance, you know that's God. This separates my mind from my heart. If I want to be sensitive to God, starts right here. So how many of you can make a decision? I'm going to be in my Bible more because I want to hear His voice. Amen? So notice this. So now that we've got that point out of the way, notice Romans 8, verse 16. His spirit bears witness with my spirit. When the Lord speaks to us, and we looked at this a lot of times, a lot last week, we saw 3 examples in the book of Acts where we saw phrasing like, and the Spirit said unto them, and the Holy Spirit forbid them not. And a lot of times we wonder, well, what was that like? Was that like they were praying one day and they heard a voice, like a voice from out here? Or was it a prophet who spoke it to them? Or what does it mean the Holy Spirit said unto them? This scripture clues us in into something. That His Spirit, and this is 9 times out of 10 how He's going to lead you, how He's going to guide you, is His Spirit is going to bear witness with your spirit. Not with your flesh, not with your mind. His Spirit is going to bear witness with your spirit. He bears witness with your spirit. I'll give you an example. And me, and I see Robert Earl here on the front row. That's actually his middle name. I call him Earl because I love him. And I like saying Earl. I don't know why. It pleases me. It pleases me to call Robert Earl. He's just such an amazing guy, and I enjoy his company. So we fellowship a pretty good bit. And so with that, if I was walking with Robert Earl and we were just walking down the hallway and we were talking and I stopped talking, I pulled out my phone and, you know, he just was kind of watching that, you know, maybe it beeped or something, wonder if I'm checking an email. And I text something in and then his phone beeps. And he looks at his phone, pulls his phone out of his pocket, so I'm still looking at mine, and he sees he's got a text from me. Now, we're right there next to each other. And if I did that again, the next time I was communicating right there, and if that was the only way I communicated with Robert was from the phone, from out here, And while I'm standing right there with him, wouldn't he eventually think something's wrong with Pastor Joel? Why wouldn't he just talk to me? He's right there with me. Or if we were sitting there and I picked up my phone and we're looking face to face, I pick up my phone, dial a number, and then his phone's ringing, it's me, and he picks it up. I say, "Hey, Robert, how are you?" Wouldn't he wonder why in the world am I using the phone? Sure, why? Because we're right there in the same room. Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit shall be with you and shall be what? In you." In you. Where's the Holy Spirit? He's in you. Paul said, what? I love this. What? That's what Paul said. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? That the Spirit of God dwells in you. Where is he? Where's the Holy Spirit? He's in me. So when he communicates with me, where do you think he's going to be communicating? In me. It's going to be something in me. His Spirit is going to bear witness with my spirit. There's going to be something on the inside where he deals with my heart about something. It's not coming from out here. Occasionally it will. Have you ever been somewhere like on a date with someone or something like that? And they were checking their phone so much and you were trying to have a conversation with them. And so, you just sent them a text to let them know, "Hey, I'm right here. Hey, I'm right here. You know, look up. We're on a date." And so you kind of did that to let them know, to look up. Well, it's the same way with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he'll deal with you out here. There'll be a prophecy that comes up before you. Or someone comes up to you and starts talking to you. I feel like this is what the Lord may be saying to you. Or sometimes it could be extravagant ways that the Lord leads you. But oftentimes he's leading you that way is because he can't get your attention in here. And that's the last resort is because you've been ignoring this so long, he had to resort to a deeper way. I'll give you a scripture for that. Once again, never believe me just because I'm a preacher. You remember Paul, when he saw Jesus, that's obviously an extravagant leading on the road to Damascus. Jesus appears to you. And he says, Paul, and Jesus says, "Who are you?" Or Peter, or Paul asks Jesus, "Who are you?" And he says, "I'm the one who you torture and who you're wounding." And what did Jesus say unto him? He said, "Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the what? The pricks." He said, this whole time there's been a prick on the inside. There's pricks. You've been kicking against them. So we had to resort to a deeper way of leading you. You've got a race to run. Well, God was dealing with them out here, but long before he ever dealt with them out here, he was dealing with them where? In here. And so with this, if we're ever going to learn to be led by the Holy Spirit, we got to know where to look. Where are we to look? We're to look in here. I'll give you an example on this. While I'm giving you an example, let's go to the book of Acts. Go to the last couple of books in the book of Acts, last couple of chapters in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 27, and let's look here in verse 9. Acts 27, verse 9, I'll tell you a story while you're turning. After last Sunday service, I went back to the back room here. Started talking to some guys who were back there. And I enjoy their company. We were talking about these things, being led by the Spirit of God. And one of the guys spoke up and he said, "You know, I was thinking about this today." He said, I think it was a couple of months ago, he was on his lunch break. Thank God for lunch breaks. Amen. He's on his lunch break. And after he had eaten lunch, he was driving in his car going back to work. And while he's driving in his car, he gets a perception in his heart. Just a perception. Go to the bank, get $200, and give it to this fellow coworker. Name the coworker. That's all I got. Wasn't some booming voice out here. It's just something on the inside. Say on the inside. Something on the inside. Go to the bank, get $200. And give it to that coworker. Just a perception on the inside. A leading on the inside. I'll put it to you this way. A knowing on the inside. His spirit bears witness with your spirit. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I got called to jury duty. I got out of it. Praise God. I got out of it. But with that, apparently all you have to do to get out of jury duty is just show up at the courthouse and tell them you can't come. I guess they figure if you show up in person, you really mean you can't come. I don't know. But anyway, they let me out of it. I didn't even have to tell them I was a preacher doing the Lord's work. They just let me out of it. I was going to pull that card, though. But anyway, I was fully prepared. So with this, when you're on jury duty, what are they going to call to the stand? They're going to call a witness to the stand. Now, why are they calling a witness? A witness is testifying about something they know. You don't call a witness who has an opinion. Because if all it is an opinion and it's not a fact, it's not a knowing, they're immediately going to get railed on and proven as false, right? It's going to hurt either the prosecution's case or the defense's case. So they're only going to call a witness who has a knowing, right? So with this, when his spirit, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit, it comes across as a knowing. There's a knowing in our heart. I know I ought to do something. I know I ought not be doing something. It's a knowing. And he gets a knowing in his heart. I need to go to the bank. Well, as soon as he gets that, what happens? His head kicks in. Why? You're a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. You're a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. You all have those three parts. So whenever your heart kicks in and tells you something, your mind will kick in and start telling you something too, and so will your flesh. His mind kicks in and says, you're already running late on your lunch break anyway. That'll make you even more late. His flesh kicks in and you start wondering, well, do I really want to be given $200? Come on, somebody. That's $200. $200. So with that, three voices are competing. And in your life, three voices will always compete too. Got the voice of your spirit, which is your conscience. You got the voice of your mind, which is reason. And you got the voice of your body, which is your emotions. Those three voices will always compete. Which one you listen to determines your destiny. So with that, he's listening. He's listening to his heart. And he knows I'm supposed to. So he says, you know what? Forget it. I don't care if I'm running a little bit late. I'm going to go to the bank. So he goes to the bank, gets his $200, goes back to work. When he walks into work, goes right to the guy. He comes up to him and says, look, I was driving, just got off from lunch. While I was driving, felt in my heart I was supposed to give you $200. He gives him the $200. The guy starts weeping uncontrollably, just weeping. So much so he's wanting to step back. You ever seen like a man cry like that? It's like, I need to step back. Give him a moment. So he's stepping back, and the more he's stepping back, the guy's like, no, come here. Come closer. So he starts walking a little bit towards him. He says, a little while ago, I went outside those doors right there, and I lifted up my voice to God and said, God, I need some money because payday is not coming fast enough, and I don't have enough money right now to feed my family. And I need money to provide for them. He prayed that prayer. The same time he's praying that prayer, one of our church members is getting a witness, a knowing in his heart. I need to go to the bank and get $200 and give it to that person. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Well, how many of you know that blessed that man, but how many of you know it also blessed our church member? That's blessing all of us. Why? It's of the Holy Spirit. It's born of God. You can have that. But see, what happens with most people is they get stuff like that all the time, and they just completely ignore it. Not just about to do things for other people, but things God's looking to do in their life, and they just ignore it. They let the voice of reason override the voice of their heart. They let the voice of their body override the voice that is in their heart. They get so excited about something. I almost missed it this past week. I got so excited about it. See, that's the danger of your flesh. It's excitable. It's emotional. And it'll go on different tangents at times. You'll get an idea and you'll get so excited about the potential of this relationship, or so excited about this idea, or so passionate about this concept, or so excited about this dream. And at other times, it'll get so frustrated by this, or so saddened by this, or so mad by that. And the problem with that is when your flesh is speaking so loud, you can't hear your heart. Because God doesn't speak in an earthquake or a fire or a big rushing wind. You know how God speaks? In a still, small voice. And if you were sitting back there whispering during our praise and worship service, which can get loud sometimes, if you were back there whispering, trying to talk to me, would I be able to hear you? No, now you're talking to me, but I'm not hearing you. Why? Because I'm not close enough to hear you, and the other noise in the room is too loud. And what happens is people's minds gets to talking so loud, their body gets to talking so loud that all the while God's speaking to them, but they can't hear it. Here's an example of this in Acts chapter 27. You've got Paul. He's on the journey God's called him to. And he's actually a prisoner on a ship being transported with other prisoners and other goods. The guy who's over the ship is a centurion, but he doesn't know how to sail. He's just over the sailors and he's over the prisoners. And so they're at a dock and they're determining whether or not we should leave this dock. And the sailor, who's an expert, everyone say expert. How many of you know it's amazing how many people are experts at everything? I mean, you got someone been divorced 5 times telling you how to run your marriage. How many, right? Right? The World Cup is on. The World Cup, soccer's on. I don't know soccer for nothing. But after watching 2 matches, it's amazing. I'm already telling them, you shouldn't have kicked that ball there. What? Because everybody's an expert. Here you got the experts saying to the sailors, launch out. This is not a good port for you to be at. We think you can make it a little bit further up the coast. Launch out. And according to their minds, this is the right thing to do. But they've got someone on the boat who's not just governed by their mind. They've got someone on the boat who just happens to be a son of God. And sons of God should be, ought to be what? Led by the Spirit of God. And watch how Paul communicates this leading. Watch what he gets here. Let's start in verse 9. We'll read to verse 10. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, underline it, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading, that would be the goods, and the ship, but also of our lives. But nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Now notice what Paul said. Paul said, guys, I know everyone is saying we can do this, and I know I'm not an expert, but I've just got a perception. Everyone say perception. He said, I've got a perception. If we get on this boat and we leave this place, it's going to cost us the goods, the ship, and possibly our own lives. This is a big decision. Notice all God gave Paul was a perception. He didn't send him a vision. He didn't speak in an audible voice. He didn't send 3 men and do an interpreted dance to tell Paul what he gave him. He gave him a perception. Don't get on this boat. Do not launch. That was all he gave him. Now, question. In matters of life and death, if all God is giving Paul is a perception, why are you asking for anything more? What's God going to do? He's going to bear witness with your what? With your spirit. So don't be asking God to give you 5 red cars in a row. Come on now. Our Lord, if this is really you. No, it's really Him. If you've got it in your heart, it's Him. Where is He? He's in you. He's in you. The guide is in you, Jesus said. He's going to guide you from that place. Paul's got a perception. Don't do this. Well, what'd they do? They did it. And what happened? Paul winds up in the middle of like a hurricane and says, guys, you ought to listen to me. And at this point, everyone's like, you are right. You are right. We should have listened to you. And he was able to guide them from there. And thank God the Lord was merciful to them. And how many of you know, even when you miss it, the Lord will be merciful to you. But Paul and those men went through some things they never would have had to go through had they have learned to listen to that perception. that leading, that witness. When God speaks to you, 9 times out of 10, I'd go as far to say 99 times out of 100, it's going to be just that simple. Just a perception in your heart. You know what? I ought not be doing that. You know what? I ought not be around them. Well, why? I don't know. I just know in my heart. The Lord doesn't deal in opinions. He deals in facts. He never gives suggestions. He gives commands. And there's something in your heart that just knows, I ought not. There's something in your heart that just knows, I really should. It's a knowing. It's a knowing. So these are the first two things. Number one, get in your Bible. It'll train you. It'll train you to recognize His voice. Number two, you got to recognize that 9 times out of 10, His voice is not going to come from out here. It's coming in here. It's just a knowing, a perception in your heart. But then thirdly, and I want to end with this. Let's go over to Acts, and I have like 3 minutes, so this is going to be just very short. Acts chapter 13. And while we're turning to that, go to Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Proverbs 3, verse 5 on the screens. Acts chapter 13. Man, you guys are listening good, and I appreciate that. Acts chapter 13, we'll close with this. Verse 1 and 2, and on the screens, book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Notice this in Acts chapter 13, verse 1 through verse 2. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Starts with Barnabas and it ends with Saul. Notice in verse 2, and as they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. Now notice verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, gave them instruction, guidance for their life. Which one came first? The Holy Spirit saying, or them seeking the Lord? Them seeking the Lord came first. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, then the Holy Spirit said from that place. Now notice this in Proverbs 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. Now we'll come back to that at another time, but notice this in verse 6. Proverbs 3 and verse 6, in all your ways do what? Acknowledge Him, then what? He will direct your path. Which one comes first? Him directing my path or me acknowledging Him? Me acknowledging Him. Now you see two witnesses here that us seeking the Lord comes before Him directing, comes before Him speaking. God is a gentleman. And friends, I'm telling you, a big key in you being led by Him is you cannot be so busy with life, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, emails, text, phones, that you are checking all those things and not checking with Him. You've got to learn to stop and ask Him, Lord, what do you think about this? When you're in the middle of that heated conversation, I'm telling you what, I'm trying to learn to do this. I'm excitable. I get excited about things. And when a good idea comes, I get excited about things. Like I said, this week, got excited about something. And then I finally asked the Lord, what do you think about that? And I realized He wasn't near as excited about it as I was. But see, we go and we make decisions based off of that. We start making actions based out of emotion and not based off of His leading. No, we're not emotion-led. We're not reason-led. We are Spirit-led. And so with this, if I am not acknowledging Him, I can't expect Him to direct my paths. So steadily throughout the day, note, I like what he said, in all your ways acknowledge Him. You should be asking all the time, just on the inside, Lord, what should I say right here? They are acting nuts. What should I say right now? Because the Lord knows I got some things I want to say, but it is definitely not Spirit-led. What should I be saying right now? And he said, if you will acknowledge Him in all your ways, what will He do? He'll begin to direct you. Now, where's His direction coming? Not out here, in here. If I want His leadings, I need to be asking for Him. And I need to be checking for him all the time right here. I wish I had more time, but I don't. You've been a wonderful, wonderful audience. Let me pray with you before you leave. Father, we come before you. I thank you, Lord, for these people. Let us all, each and every one of us, be Spirit-led. On this Father's Day, Lord, bless all the fathers. Let them know we love them. Let them know you love them. Help us all be the best dads we can be. We love you, Lord. Now, if you're here today and you need to make a decision for Jesus, you know if you do, right? We don't have to belabor the point. You probably came into the room knowing whether or not you needed to make a decision for him. And if you didn't know, I guarantee you during the service, you knew whether or not you needed to make a decision for him. So right now, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. No one's looking around. If that's you today, I'm not going to make anyone look for you. Don't worry, I'm not going to embarrass you. But if that's you today, and you say, Pastor Joel, I need to get right with Jesus. The Holy Spirit right now is letting your heart know, bearing witness with your spirit, whether or not you do or not. If that's you, you say, I need to make a decision for Jesus. Maybe it's just something as simple as rededicating your life. Would you lift your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you. I got hands going up all over the place. That you just lift up your hand. Oh, he loves you so much. See those hands. God bless you. He loves you. Jesus loves you. He's not ashamed of you. He loves you. Thank you, Lord. Now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, let's all get together and let's pray this. Every one of us, just pray this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe you sent Jesus to die for me. I believe not only did he die, but on the third day, he rose again from the grave. Jesus, I call upon your name. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Lord Jesus, you've forgiven me of every fault, of every failure, of every mistake. So I forgive myself. And I say boldly, my best days are starting right now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, we want to thank you so much for coming.